Thank you very much for coming this evening with so much enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is what gives life to our devotional service. Enthusiasm to hear the glories of the Lord and to chant the names of the Lord is a qualification to attract the Lord to bestow his mercy upon us from within our hearts. Because when enthusiasm is sincere, it is an expression of love. Just like many of you are parents, if your child comes to you and just kind of throws a flower and says, "Happy birthday." Thank you. It's better than nothing. But if a child runs up and says, I'm so happy today. Happy birthday. Does that make you more happy? Because there's feeling. There's enthusiasm. So similarly, when someone is discussing Krishna and we're falling asleep, when will it end? Then Krishna in your heart is not very enthused by that. But when we're in rapt attention, very eager, intensely listening, catching the nectar through our ears and just bringing it to the core of our hearts, Krishna becomes very happy. That's an expression of love. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, yeah, Hare Krishna. All right, Krishna, Krishna. Hare, Hare. I'll continue. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. It's almost over. Ram, Ram, Hare, Hare. Then Krishna, and your Krishna is not different than his name, who's the super soul in your heart. He's chanting. That's all right. But if with great enthusiasm we're taking shelter eagerly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Krishna reciprocates. Bhagavad Gita tells, Ye yata mam prapadyante tams tathaiva bhajamyaha. Mama vart manuvartante manusya paratasaravasha. According to our surrender, the Lord reciprocates accordingly. The Bhagavatam tells, Srinvatam sukata krishna punja sravana kirtana hridyantastohya padrani vidunoti suhritsitam. That one who actually is enthusiastic and happy to hear about Krishna, one who is eager to hear Krishna's message with a sincere and humble heart, Krishna becomes so pleased that in reciprocation for that eagerness, that sincerity, he cleanses all the anartas, all the unwanted attachments, desires, and illusions from within. According to our eagerness, Krishna will reciprocate according to how we take shelter. If you're starving in the desert, and you haven't had water for days, and you're on the verge of collapse, and somebody asks, would you like some water? Do you say, well, I'll think about it. No, you'll say, please, please, now, now, immediately. It's life or death. That's actually how we should be hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained, unless we're really aware of the blazing fire of material existence, unless we realize the nature of dukkhalayam ashashvatam, the temporary sufferings of this world, we can't really take shelter of the Lord. If you think you're happy in material life, how will you take shelter? Therefore, Kunti Devi, mother of Pandavas, prayed, Janmaishwarya Shruti Surabir Edamanamata Puma Naivarhati Vidatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. People who are too proud of happiness that they gain from a lot of wealth, a great education, physical beauty, high prestigious birth, they can't feelingly take shelter of Krishna, his name or his message. At the most, it's a formality. It's a religious ritual. It's a pious activity. But bhakti is taking shelter. Therefore, Kunti says, Tvam akinchana gocharam. When one actually feels, I'm in poverty, then you can really, with eagerness, take shelter of the Lord as he's descending through his name and his message. Yes? Poverty is a type of emptiness. If someone gives you a big feast, let us say, just after the Govardhan Puja celebration, they give you mountains of samosas and rasgullas and gulab jamuns and rice and halwa and all these nice things. Some dal also. And in ISKCON, you might even get spaghetti. So you take this big, big Govardhan feast. You've been waiting for all year. And you eat a lot. And then more than that. And even more than that. Until you're laying on the ground thinking, oh, it was too good. And then someone comes up and gives you a big plate of rice with ghee and saffron, sweet rice. What would you do? You would just go, I know it's good, but some other day. Because you're full. Or as in America they say, you're full of it. You're full. So, but if you're hungry and someone brings you that saffron sweet rice with ghee, oh, yes, please, let me take it. So this is what it means, akinchana gocharam. Unless we realize how much we need Krishna, and we're eager, in a mood of desperation, we can't really connect properly. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be physically in poverty. You could live in a nice house. You could have ample food and a good family. But if you're satisfied with all that, if that's all there is to life, then how can you chant God's name? It's just a religious ritual at the best. But even if having all that, you realize material life is dukkalayam ashashvatam. There's birth, old age, disease, and death. I'm the spirit soul. I need Krishna. Every moment is passing without Krishna is a great, great tragedy in life. The Vishnu Purana says every moment that passes forgetting Krishna is actually the greatest loss. Greater than losing all your wealth and all your loved ones and everything spiritually is losing a moment in forgetfulness of the purpose of life. So yes, Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavyas Kirtitavyas Cha Smaratavyas Chetavayam. Shukadev Goswami tells that in order to be free from sufferings and come to a state of fearlessness, one must enthusiastically take shelter of hearing, chanting, and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From the heart. And when Krishna just sees that eagerness with humility and sincerity, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupashate tesham nityabhayuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. He will personally overcome all of our inadequacies. He will carry what we lack and preserve what we have. And this is the story that we find in all of the great scriptures. Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die in 7 days. He was the king of the world. There was no democratic vote that would oust him. It was monarchy, and he was king. The only thing that could take him away from his kingdom was when he decided on his own sweet will to retire after putting his son in charge. Yes? Powerful position. And everyone liked him. How many leaders today do people actually like? It's pretty rare. But he was cursed to die in 7 days for a very innocent mistake that he made. He was overcome by thirst, and in that state he became somewhat delirious and covered over, and he offended somebody, a sage. It was actually a slight mistake in very, very extensive circumstances, something he would have never, ever, ever done in his normal state of consciousness. And for that, he was told that he was cursed to die in 7 days. Now, what would your consciousness be if you were told that you were going to die at 7:34 next Sunday night? Think about it, honestly. That was the message that he got. And he was grateful. Tateinukampam sasamukshanamano punjana ivakrimit kritam vipagam ridvagva purvirvadatam namaste jivetya muktapade sadayavak. With folded hands, he prayed with a grateful heart, I deserve worse. But Krishna's so kind, he's giving me the opportunity to surrender everything to him. Thank you, Krishna. And with that in mind, he went to the bank of the Ganga, leaving everything else behind. And he inquired from Sukadeva Goswami. Inquired, please tell me what I need to know in my last seven days in life. Please tell me. He wasn't asking ritualistically. He wasn't asking thinking, I'll take notes and maybe I'll get a good grade on my exam. He was desperate. Every moment, every word, he was eagerly grasping onto from the core of his heart. And the message of Krishna is none different than Krishna. Because he was so eager for Krishna, he was receiving Krishna in full. He was experiencing Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami was so happy. He said, because you're so enthusiastic to hear, I'm so enthusiastic to speak. And when the 10th canto came, that means many days he didn't take a drop of water, he didn't take a drop of food, he didn't even sleep. He was just listening to Krishna. Katha. And when it was perhaps 5 days into this discourse, Parikshit Maharaj was expressing to Shukadeva Goswami, I feel not the slightest thirst, not the slightest hunger, not the slightest fatigue. I just want to go on listening to you. Carry on, please. Keep speaking. Now this discussion was not only so eagerly heard by Parikshit Maharaj, But everyone there, it was pin drop silent. One of the people who happened to attend that 7-day discourse of Shukadeva Goswami was Suta Goswami. And he was a Naima Sharanya. Have any of you been to Naima Sharanya? It's a very beautiful holy place. It's about 100 kilometers away from Lucknow. There's a railway station called Naimshi, and that is where the Naima Sharanya forest is. It's on the bank of the holy Gomati River. Big, beautiful trees. There's the actual spot where Suta Goswami spoke, and Sonaka Rishi and the great sages were listening. Now there was 80,000 sages. And there was one speaker with no sound system. So can you imagine how enthusiastic they were to hear? They were just listening. And he was so enthusiastic to speak, everyone heard every word. The sages of Naima Sharanya actually gathered because they saw that the symptoms of Kali Yuga were beginning to infiltrate the world. Manda sumanda mataya manda bhagya upadirita. These great sages who were compassionate, well-wishers of all living beings, they could see that people were becoming so spiritually lazy. This is a symptom of Kali Yuga. People can be very dynamic and very aggressive to get prestige, to get power, to get money. But when it comes to spirituality, they just don't have time. Either they don't believe that it's relevant to their lives, or if they do believe, it's one of the later priorities, if I get around to it. Hare Krishna. It's like, sometimes I tell the story. I was in Surat, in Gujarat, and there was big advertisements that a Swami is going to give lecture. I happened to be that Swami that day. So they rented a pandal. And there was about 500 ladies that showed up. And one man holding a baby. So for Swami, I felt a little out of place in this environment. But they were really eager to hear and eager to chant. So I asked the ladies, you know, do any men live in this area? They said, yes, yes, we all have husbands. I said, well, where are your husbands? They said, they're watching the cricket game on television. Oh, they're reading the newspapers. So then I was thinking that these ladies were so enthusiastic for Krishna, but the husbands were just spiritually lazy. Enthusiastic to watch television, to read newspapers. You don't get enlightened by reading newspapers. At least not the ones I've seen. It's mostly depressing news. In fact, people become so depressed that the most popular part of most newspapers is the sports section. You know, who wins and who loses? This is really Dukalaya Mashashvatam. It's so temporary. Your team wins, and then your team loses. I've seen in India. India plays Pakistan in cricket. This is, people are more concerned with this match than they are the Kurus and the Pandavas in Kurukshetra. It has more relevance to their lives. And some years ago, India lost, yes? First they won, then they lost. People told me that when they lost, this one boy told me he actually decided to commit suicide because he couldn't live. It was too painful. It was too humiliating. The Indian cricket team lost to Pakistan. For It's worse than death. So he was actually thinking that way, and he went out just to, and he happened to meet a devotee. And the devotee gave him a book and told him, you know, you're not this body. And he said, really, please tell me what this is. He became a devotee. Now he's a preacher. Very good preacher, too. I'm not going to mention his name, though. So yes, in Kali Yuga, as it advances, people become very, very spiritually lazy. Religion becomes superficial, ritualistic, dogmatic, just vain traditions with no real philosophy, with no real enthusiasm. Or else it becomes very sectarian and fanatical. And instead of bringing about love and compassion, it creates hatred and envy toward others. We see in the world today, this, you didn't see this before the age of Kali, where so-called religious people are killing people because they're religious in a different way. That's unheard of. That's Kali Yuga. You know, we see Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, these demons, but they weren't religious. They hated religion. And they were trying to kill Prahlad and others, steal Sita. But in the age of Kali, people in the name of God hate others. Is that religion? Savai pungso paro taramo yato bhaktir hokshijaya hoitakiya pratihata yayatma supraseedati. Dharma means to purify your heart and have unconditional, uninterrupted loving service to the Lord. Vidyavanaya sampani brahmanika vihastini sunichaiva svapakicha pandita samadarshana. Gita tells, if you're actually a religious person, you'll see every living being with equal vision. You'll have love and respect for the Brahman, for the Shudra, for the Chandala, for the dog, for the elephant, and for the cow. You'll see the spirit soul in everyone's heart, and you will honor that. You may hate the illusion and the greed that may be covering them. That's a disease, but you'll love the person. You can't hate anyone if you love God. But today, religion, people are hating, people are murdering, people are terrorizing. As an expression of devotion, that's Kali Yuga. So people are either miserably lazy spiritually, or they're completely off track. They're just taking their envy and their greed and their mundane attachments, and they're packaging it in the name of God. Yes? It's like putting poison in a bottle and writing on it, prasadam. It's hypocrisy. It's cheating. Just putting the label, but the substance is not there. Real dharma, savai pungsang paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshajaya hoitiki apriti hataya yatma supraseedati. Real dharma is based on substance, on character, on behavior. A person who has any real faith in God, that's true faith in the right thing, becomes compassionate, forgiving, honorable, exemplary. But the age of Kali, things go wild. So much hip. It is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. We find hypocrisy everywhere. So many children see hypocrisy in their parents. People see hypocrisy in their political leaders. People see hypocrisy in their teachers in school. They see hypocrisy in their spiritual leaders. It's a serious disease. And because of that hypocrisy, there's always potential quarrel. So laziness. People are addicted to materialistic activities and sinful activities. In fact, to sin is normal. You're an outcast. I was talking to a young person today. That person asked me, is there anything I can do for you? And I said, give up intoxications. They said, how do you know? I'm taking intoxications. Said, I can see. Said, but that's impossible. It's very difficult because everyone around does it. If I don't do it, I'll be an outcast. That's Kali Yuga. In previous ages, if you committed any type of sinful activity, you were an outcast. In Kali Yuga, if you want to be pious, you're an outcast. In certain circles, it's very difficult. To be a vegetarian is embarrassing in certain circles, yes? Some of my dear friends, they're business people, and they have to go to restaurants with business people, because that's how you do business in the West, is in restaurants, yes? At least that's what I was told. And, you know, just to order something vegetarian, people look at you like, huh? Like you're some sort of alien that descended from a different planetary system. It's becoming a little more accepted because of all the diseases that meat has created. But yes, Kali Yuga is an age where real, true spirituality is so rare. And the covering of materialistic, egoistic, selfish endeavor becomes very, very prominent, both in secular society as well as in religious societies. And no one is exempt from the influence unless we're very aware. It's not a matter of which religious organization we sign up on. We're all being attacked by Kali. Serious. So the sages of Naimasharanya, they understood what was happening. Kali Yuga had just entered. And they were really concerned about the people. For themselves, they were very highly realized souls. They were living in Naimasharanya, this forest of Naimasha, is, according to the scriptures, the center of the universe. If the universe is like a wheel, Naimasharanya is like the hub of that wheel. Lord Brahma personally arranged it that way. Very holy place, very conducive to spiritual learning. In Naimasharanya, even today, the forest is so beautiful. A few years ago, we had a Bhagavat Katha in Naimasharanya forest. It was incredible. It was like being in another world. These large, ancient trees growing everywhere. No sound, no automobiles, no rickshaws, no blasting speakers, nobody talking. In India, no horns, which is very rare. We were deep in a forest. It was silent. There's the Gomati River flowing so nicely. And we were speaking. Can you imagine what it was like there 5,000 years ago? Today, if you go maybe about 10 kilometers from that forest, there's a railway station. And there's some beautiful ashrams. That's all that's around this forest we were in. Is some distance away, the closest thing is these ashrams, with just these sages and rishis just studying the Bhagavatam and chanting Harinam. That's all. So yes, all of these sages gathered in Naimasharanya, they were pure-hearted souls. They were completely detached from all materialistic, egoistic pursuits. They were submersed in searching for self-realization. And the leader amongst them was Sonaka Rishi. So Sonaka Rishi, on behalf of all the other 80,000 sages, sadhus, yogis, spoke the questions to Suta Goswami. He asked them about what he heard from Shukadeva Goswami at the time of Parikshit Maharaj's departure. And Suta Goswami was so enthused to hear those questions. Munaya sadhu prishtoham bhavad bhirloka mangalam yat krita krishna samprasno yenatma suprasidati. He said, your questions are glorious. To see the questions were asked with such eagerness, with such desperateness. Why? They wanted to hear these, they wanted to understand how to counteract the effects of Kali. They wanted it to be on record. They felt burning compassion in the hearts for all people. They could see into the future of Kali Yuga, what would happen. So they were asking, not just out of curiosity. They were not asking simply out of formality. They were asking in the same mood Parikshit Maharaj talked to Sukadeva Goswami. It was desperate for the welfare of the entire planet, for this entire age. Please tell us what we must know. And Suta Goswami was so inspired by their enthusiasm to hear, he said, your questions are glorious because the topic of the answer is Krishna. And therefore, this subject matter is meant for the ultimate benefit of all humanity for all time to come. So yes, we should be eager. We should be enthusiastic. And in order to have that eagerness and enthusiasm, we have to have a philosophical reason why to be. Because this material existence is like an ocean, and the ocean waves are always going up and down. Sometimes the wave brings you up, and oh, business is nice, everyone's nice to me, family is nice, everyone's in good health, and then the wave goes, and uncertainties and calamities. And they can come upon anybody at any time. No one's exempt. You know, big leaders, you know, our President Bush now. First he's up, then down, and then he might go up. We don't know. In India, the Prime Minister, Mr. Vajpayee, he was doing so good. It was certain he was going to win. Yes? At least that's what most people thought. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani chajana bhavashani chabutani mamtu vedana kashtana. Krishna knows past, present, and future. So it was no surprise to Krishna. But to everyone else, it was, some of you were surprised. Built up the economy, built up all kinds of international connections and alliances and peace talks. And he lost. Is anything secure in this world? Kamala dala jala jivana tala mala. That whatever our success is, whatever our position is, at the best, it's like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. At any moment, it's gone. Where did it go? Why did it go? Who could tell? Why did he lose the election? They made it earlier because they were quite certain this is the time we'll win. And then there was Gandhi. He was at the peak and he was killed. Kennedy was the most popular president of America in modern day. At the peak of his career, finished. That's the way the world is. People are at the top of their economic career, and then all of a sudden some mistake or some stock market problem. And in fact, in the 1920s, the whole nation of America, It was a wealthy, powerful nation, and then the stock market crashed, the Great Depression, and actually the majority of the whole country of America was on the verge of starvation. My father was working for 12 cents a week when he was a little boy, just to try to get some bread and potatoes on the table so that the family didn't starve. And that was common. And that's America. We're not talking about Herat, Afghanistan. We're talking about Chicago, Illinois. And in New York, New York, millionaires were jumping off the Brooklyn Bridge. And in San Francisco, California, millionaires were jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge from sea to shiny sea. There was some big problems in this country. Just fell out. And how did it happen? Why did it happen? That's the nature of the world. Driving down the highway, you don't know what the next moment will come. These truck drivers, most of them are intoxicated. So yes, the sages of Naimasharanya, they understood that there is a desperate need for people to hear the highest truths. And they were eager, not only for themselves, but for all of us. If we have a philosophical understanding of how material nature works, that everything and everyone connected to us, including our own life, is like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. Now, that's not supposed to make us miserable and pessimistic. It's supposed to make us enthusiastic for truth. Atato brahma jigyasa. We can't be complacent if we want to make real spiritual advancement. We must take shelter. We must be eager. We must be enthusiastic. To be instrumental in the Lord's compassion in this world. To be genuine. To be genuine in anything good means you have to go against the current of the society. It's not easy. Dhritabrata, we must have determination. The story of Avanti Brahman in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavat. He was just a complacent, wealthy old man who was very vulgar and abusive to others. And when he lost everything, and then he was the object of abuse. Etam sa astaya paratmanishtam adyashitam purvatam aramahadbi aham tarishyami turanta param tamo mukundangri nasevayaiva. He took shelter of Krishna. He prayed in this way. I want to follow the path of the great souls now and take shelter of Mukunda. And he became a completely, perfectly self-realized devotee. So great that Krishna was praising him. The Supreme Lord Krishna was praising him and telling his story as an example for everyone. So it's not that those things have to happen to us. We could live and perform our work and be successful as far as possible, and providence allows. But we should never forget. We should never forget that this eagerness for self-realization, this eagerness to take shelter of hearing, chanting, and remembering the glories of the Lord, is really what our life is for and about. And how to get that eagerness? Shushusho shatadanasya vasudeva kataruchi syan mahatsevaya viprapundya tirtana sevanat. By associating with saintly people, by hearing from them, by rendering service for them, Krishna is pleased and he awakens this eagerness within our heart. So please, don't just be ritualistic religionists. And don't be fundamental fanatics. Be genuine, humble servants of the Lord, feeling the need, the hunger for Krishna in your life. When you worship the deity in the home, worship with love and affection and care. When you give your children Krishna, give them with love and with care. Understand, they're not only hungry for food, they're hungry for God. It's like mothers, you have baby and they start going, ah! We hear it all the time in Bhagavatam class. It's very disturbing. Prabhupada would very calmly say, take it out. Because nobody could listen to class when babies cry. It's so abrasive, see? But he's a nice baby. So they're all nice, but... But when they scream, when they're really hungry, then what does the mother do? She does, if the mother loves the child, she'll just drop everything and anything to feed her child. Yes? That's her duty. That's her love. She can't tolerate seeing her child hungry. It's crying, ah! Yes, yes, come, please eat, drink this milk, whatever you give, I don't know. But a parent should know that child's soul, that child's jivatma, is crying for Krishna. Even louder than its belly is crying for food. But we may not be able to hear it with our ears, but we should feel it with our hearts. Therefore, we want to give that child dharma, not just as a pious family tradition, but as the greatest necessity of that child's life. Huh? It's urgent. Komara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavataniha durlabam manusanjanma tat apyatruvamartadam. Prahlad Maharaj was speaking like this. He was 5 years old, speaking to boys who were 5 years old, saying, now is the time for dharma, for Bhagavad Dharma. Don't wait. You don't know when death will come. At every moment, you're conditioning yourself with more and more and more attachments. Now is the time at the very tenderest age of childhood. And Prahlad had realizations because he was eager to hear from his guru, Narada Muni, with rapt attention when he was embryo in womb. That's the right time to begin your spiritual life. 5 years old, you're already 5 years too late. Now, when you're an embryo in a womb. In fact, good parents, they do garbhadan samskar, where they're completely filling the entire atmosphere of and their own consciousnesses with Krishna. At the time of conception, the child is getting blessed by Krishna. Hare Krishna. That's sincere motherly and fatherly care. The child's soul is crying. Louder than their mouth for milk, the soul is crying for God, for love. To feed that child, by giving that child an environment that will naturally develop his or her love for Krishna, that is the real love of a parent. And we work, we have our employment. But what is it for? Is it just for name, fame, prestige, and comforts? Is anyone really happy with name, fame, prestige, and comforts? Because no matter how comfortable you are, you're going to be uncomfortable. Yes? You know, I've seen people with thousands of dollars invested in these incredible waterbeds. And they have to take sleeping pills at night. What is the use? You know, in Bombay, I've seen people sleeping on the streets without sleeping pills. But they have so much wealth, they don't know what to do. They just get the most comfortable possible bed in the entire world. They may import it from Paris. And then they sleep and they're rolling around in anxiety and mental anguish. They have to take sleeping pills. I went to one very, very wealthy man's house. Beautiful marble pillars and elevators, marble floors, and incredible handmade custom furnishings, silk and teak wood. And it was such a big, beautiful house, and there was only a couple people in it. And there's just a room to anything you want to do. There's an extravagant room to do it in. And here I don't have any house. I don't have any property. I just sleep on a straw mat in the temple. And I'm just going there very happy to tell him about Krishna. And he's weeping and crying in agony. He's sitting on this beautiful, practically a throne of a couch with air conditioning, so it's the perfect temperature. It was the heat of the summer. I just came in a taxi without AC. And here he's sitting in this beautiful house with air conditioning. And he's screaming and he's just groaning in pain. I said, "What's wrong?" He said he has a boil on his leg and it's causing him such immense pain. He was literally crying in pain because of this huge boil that was infected on his leg. And he went to doctors and surgeons came and they said, "You just have to wait till it heals on its own." Now, what do you do about that? So no matter what arrangements you make for comfort, it just doesn't work. It could work to some extent, but still, our karmas are there. So philosophically, we should understand, what is the principle of life? Abrama bhavana loka punaravartu norjana mamupeja tu konteya punarjanmana vidyate. Krishna says, from the highest planet of Brahma down to the lowest of Patala, they're all places where sufferings are inevitable. But Krishna says, but one who attains my abode never has to suffer in this world again. Sarvadharman Puritya Mamekam Sharadam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papi Pyo Moksha Ishami Masa. If we want to be free from all of these conditions of material limitation, we must surrender. And how to surrender? Man manabhava mad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mami vaishyashi satyam te pratijani priyoshime. To remember Krishna. To think of Krishna. To become his devotee. To be humble before him. And what is the easiest way to remember Krishna? Krishna is none different than his name. Kalikale Namarupe Krishna Avatar, he has descended in his name. And he's also descended in his words. Bhagavad Gita is the word of God. Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest, most elevated words about God. And Krishna's name, the Maha Mantra, is the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Iti soda sakam nam nam kalikalmasha nashanam natha parataropayas. That in this age of Kali, there is no better way of deliverance than chanting this 16-syllable Maha Mantra. But it should be done with enthusiasm, with determination, with eagerness. They asked Prabhupada once, "What if I don't feel enthusiastic?" Prabhupada said, "It doesn't matter how you feel, you be enthusiastic." That's sincerity. Why are we so concerned always with how I feel? I don't feel like this today, and I feel like this today. What's important is, what is the right thing to do? Not how I feel. how we should feel is it must be done with great enthusiasm, with great determination, because it's what pleases God. It's what's good for me. It's what's beneficial for all living beings. I may feel very sleepy. I may feel very lazy. I may feel disillusioned, disoriented, and disgusted with life. Yes? And I'm supposed to chant in this state? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No, we don't do it. We understand that this is my offering of my love, of my heart to God. Therefore, you may not feel enthusiastic, but you be enthusiastic. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. It's getting late. Prasad is getting cold. And the Swamiji is speaking too long again. Why can't he be concise? True eloquence is to speak concisely. Why doesn't he be eloquent and end class? So we could be thinking like that. And it may, I'm not saying it's wrong, but still. But I'm just repeating the message of Krishna. So with determination, be inspired, be enthusiastic to hear, be enthusiastic to read the scriptures. Take shelter. Then there's life. Then there's adventure and experience in our spiritual life. If we're dead, if we're lazy, what we put into something is what we get out of it. How we approach Krishna, that's how he responds. We must give our heart. And how do we give our heart? The gopis in Vrindavan, they gave their hearts. Everything was for Krishna. Everything was for Krishna. When Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura, the gopis and the gopas of Brijbhumi, they only survived by crying out the names and the glories of Krishna. Just by speaking about Krishna, it sustained their lives. By remembering Krishna, it sustained their existence. 24 hours a day, they were weeping and crying for Krishna, chanting his names, chanting his pastimes, repeating his words, and remembering his beautiful form in the core of their hearts. That was the ultimate expression of spiritual love. It was not a formality. We cannot imitate, but we must follow in the footsteps. People become bored with spiritual life and turn again to their old bad habits of material life when they're not tasting something higher. Vishayavani vartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param dristvani vartate. That these lower pleasures of egoistic, materialistic pleasures and entertainments, they can't be given up unless we experience something higher. We can give them up for some time, but we have to find something higher to sustain that. And how to do that? When we're enthusiastic, when we're determined, when we're dynamic in taking shelter of hearing the message of Vasudev, in chanting the names of Vasudev, we experience the great joy of spirituality. We feel Krishna. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashashriya jnana vairagyayaschaiva sanam bhaga itingana. Krishna possesses all six opulences in full. He's the supreme reservoir of beauty, knowledge, strength, fame, wealth, and renunciation. Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarvashaktis, all of his potencies, all of his glories, all of his love is within his names and his pastimes and his teachings. So yes, let us not just be superficial, ceremonial, pious people. Let us be devotees. Mahajano yena gatasa panta, and follow in the footsteps of the great souls. And take the risk of what people may say. Take the risk of giving the substantial part of our hearts to Krishna and making Krishna the center of our lives. Run to the association of devotees and become spiritually enthused. Shushu Shrosha Dadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi. Syan Mahatsevayavi Prapunya Tirtana Sevana. And that is what sadhus are meant to do. They're not meant to hold us by the hand and just solve all our psychiatric and psychological and economic problems. That's not why you approach a sadhu. To just dump all your psychiatric problems and your psychological depressions and... No. We approach sadhu to hear about Krishna, to hear about how to become enthused and inspired to chant the holy names of the Lord.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And hear the glories of the Lord and serve the lotus feet of the Lord and his devotees. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj got 7 days, you know, advance notice to, you know, death, but we don't feel that we are going to die any moment. How do we, you know, get into that mood that, you know, we are going to be, you know, dying next moment?
Hare. Munaya suru prishtoham bhavad bir loka mangalam yat krita krishna samprashno yenatma supraseded. Your question is glorious because it refers to Krishna and therefore it is for the ultimate benefit of all living beings. Thank you. He's asking, Parikshit, he was so fortunate. He was given message 7 days and then the expiration of his life would come about. But we don't think we have 7 days. We think we have so much time to live. So we're not so serious about hearing Harikatha. But my dear friends, you have no guarantee of even 7 hours. Yes? How many people in this world die unexpectedly? Have you ever heard of such a thing? It happens tens and thousands of times a day. Parikshit Maharaj was guaranteed 7 days to hear about Krishna. We have no guarantee of even 7 minutes. So we should become serious. Not that we should simply be paranoid and afraid. We should just be serious. Yes? We should become very serious. Because if you don't do it now, when are you going to do it? Do you think when you're 80 years old and you can hardly talk and you can hardly see and you can hardly remember anything, it's going to be easier than now? The great King Kulashekar, there's a beautiful sloka that all the acharyas of all the sampradayas chant his beautiful sloka. And in this he's saying, now I'm young, Lord, please take my life now. I don't want to go old, because when I'm old, I might lose my memory and my voice might get all choked up. How can I chant your name and remember you in that condition? Let me go now when I'm young and I'm fixing my mind completely on you. Huh? That's his prayer. It doesn't mean we should want to die young, but it should mean we should understand the urgency of the moment. There's also the story of Katvanga Maharaj. Does everyone know that story? Please raise your hand if you know the story of Maharaj Katvanga. Now to test how many people are listening. Raise your hands if you have not heard the story of Maharaj Katvanga. Raise your hand if you want prasad now. All right, you're very polite, thank you. So, Maharaj Katvanga was a very great, powerful king. And the Devatas were fighting against the Asuras. And the Devatas were losing the battle. So they needed help. So they knew Katvanga Maharaj was a very, very powerful fighter. So they asked him, can you lead our armies and help us? So Maharaj Katvanga fought for years and years and years, 24 hours a day. He just fought. Incredible, dynamic, determined, selflessly, as a service to the Devatas. And he won the war. So the Devatas wanted to award him. They said, we will give you any benediction you desire. And you know what the demigods could give you? They could give you heavenly planets, which are far better than Hawaii or Orlando. More beautiful than Niagara Falls. These are heavenly planets where you could live for hundreds and thousands of years in luxury with beautiful men and beautiful women. They could give him mystic powers where he could do miraculous feats anytime he wants. The demigods have the power to give incredible benedictions. They said, we'll give you any benediction you like. We are so indebted to you. And what was the one benediction Katvanga Maharaj asked for? He said, just give me this. Tell me the time I'm supposed to die because I want to be prepared. That's important. He considered that important, more important than kingdoms, empires, prestige, physical health, and everything else. Tell me the moment I die. I want to be prepared. They checked the records. They have that power. They said, Maharaj, we're very sorry to tell you, you're going to die in a moment, according to the karmic records. So you know what he did? He was happy as anything. He knew what he had to do. He knows the soul is eternal. He immediately came down to the earth because he didn't want to die in the heavenly planets because there's too many distractions. In the earth, there's enough happiness to make life comfortable to some extent, and there's enough suffering so nobody's ever really too happy. So it's a good place. Heavenly planets, so much happiness. You tell a person in the heavenly planets to chant the names of God, and they say, yes, yes, Hare Krishna. Well, you tell someone on this earth who's serious, chant the names of the Lord, Hare Krishna. There's a difference. People take shelter. So he came down to the earth, and he completely fixed his entire mind, body, words, and consciousness on the lotus feet of Krishna, and he attained perfection in one moment and went back through the spiritual sky to Vaikuntha, the abode of the Lord. So we shouldn't take things for granted. Now is the time. We do not know what tomorrow will bring. Now is the time. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Amen.